What's going on, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. I really enjoyed my conversation today with Nicoletta Heidinger. And Nicoletta received her BA in psychology from Stanford University and her MA in clinical psychology from Pepperdine and her master's of education in human sexuality from Widener University. And she is currently pursuing her PhD in human sexuality. She offers counseling to couples and individuals addressing a wide range of issues. And you guessed it, sexuality is a big passion of hers that she likes to focus on. And today we talk about how to increase your pleasure and get in touch with your sexuality. And I really love the actionable tips and resources that Nicoletta provides today. I'm scribbling tons of notes on some new resources that I hadn't really heard of. She walks me through an exercise on how to get in touch with our senses and figure out what a hell yes is for us and how to translate that into our sexuality. So you're going to enjoy that and everything that Nicoletta offers in today's show. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you guys. You know, without you, we don't have a show. I don't get to have these interesting conversations with our guests to get the information for myself and then be able to give it to you guys. So thank you so much. Enjoy today's show. Today's episode is brought to you by our online course, Spark My Relationship.
Do you guys want to create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner in less than 90 days?
Yes. Sign me up.
Then you guys need to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. It is an online course, like I mentioned, that we created with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you guys the strategies marriage therapists teach their clients.
We talk about it on the show. Relationships take work. Sometimes they function pretty easily and you coast along, but we've found the reality is you have to do work sometimes and to make them better, to change them so that they're more satisfying for both partners.
And you've made it here. You've made it to listening to our show. So you guys probably already know that a little bit, but what you might not know are the specific tools and exercises that you need to create those lasting and positive improvements in your relationship. And like Chase said, change does not happen on its own. It takes hard work. And that's why we created the course.
Spark My Relationship is designed to infuse your life and relationship with fresh passion, skills, and wisdom. And it's a self-paced journey that's perfect for turning up the heat, having some fun together, and revolutionizing your intimacy and communication.
And just some tools and strategies that the course includes is to how to eliminate unhelpful old habits, develop mindful awareness to help improve your stress management, learn healthy and successful communication tools, create a deeper and more intimate bond, and strengthen your couple microculture, which you will find out what that is. In the future together. So for our listeners only, we're offering a special of $100 off the course. Visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to unlock your discount. And there is a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there really is no reason to not give it a try. So go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock for $100 off.
Hi, Nicoletta. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
You are welcome. I'm so glad to be here.
Excellent. So I thought today we could talk about how to get in touch with our sexuality to better experience our current partner, ourselves, our future partner, and increase pleasure. And we'll start there, and then we can have a conversation about how to communicate that with our partner or like I said, we're talking to both partnered and unpartnered people. So a future partner. So why don't we start by maybe having you tell our listeners, if I was seeing you and I came in and I was like, I want to increase my pleasure, sexuality, I think I have a lot to learn there. How would you get me started there?
Okay. So feel free to stop me along the way, because I feel like this is a long answer. So we can definitely stop and discuss more as we go. But I think first and foremost, before we even get into like sex talk, I would kind of be curious to know about somebody's experience with how they prioritize themselves or just general pleasure in their life. And so are they somebody who really takes the time to do things for themselves, to do things just for the purpose of having fun and just for pleasure? I find that in our kind of capitalistic world, we're usually putting that stuff to the bottom of our list. And so we're doing a lot of things that's like, what can I do to be more successful? What can I do to be better at this? What can I do to not miss out on this experience? And so I find that a lot of folks, and sometimes myself included, they say they want to increase their pleasure or prioritize pleasure, but I kind of want to assess how ready they are to actually make that a priority and really do the work. I think in our culture and a lot of our communities, pleasure is not something that is put on something that's important. We don't really live in a space that really prioritizes pleasure like some other places do. And so I would really, invite and encourage someone to start there, not even in like a sexual practice per se, but in like before you start the day, when you're starting your morning, do you do something for yourself first? Do you do something throughout the day to prioritize pleasure? Something that you do that's not goal-oriented, that's not for something specific, that's not to accomplish something, but just something to take care of you and yourself. That could be brushing your teeth more mindfully. That could be making a shake. That could be taking a little extra time after the shower to like lotion up your body in a like loving, sensual way. It could be taking a walk outside. It could be smelling some nice smells, lighting a candle for yourself, literally anything that has no goal, no purpose, just for pleasure. And then I think with that, I'm assessing a lot with folks like how deserving they feel of more pleasure. So obviously, if they're coming to me, at least part of them feels like they're deserving of having more. But what barriers have gotten in the way in the past that have stopped them from feeling like they deserve to have more pleasure?
What are some of those barriers that you come across?
The list is endless for lots of different people. And then we can talk more about, where I would go from there as well. And I think barriers, the biggest one is shame. So I think shame around exploring sexuality, shame around giving and receiving pleasure, not just of the sexual kind and variety. I also think it can do with lack of self-esteem and lack of self-confidence. So feeling like I'm not someone who deserves this. And that may be because that's what you've been told in your life, whether that was in a relationship or by your family. Maybe you were just expected to be the doer or the fixer or someone who just had to perform a lot. So, what were kind of the messages that you were told? I think another thing is, depending on your gender, I think especially for people in a body that has a vagina, I think we are often taught as women to be the hostesses. And so as a hostess, it's thinking of everybody else. It's people pleasing. It's making sure that everyone else is having a good time, not wanting to disappoint other people. And so at the end of the day, there's just no room to take care of self. And then it's like, I've been a chameleon for so long, taking care of and changing my color for everyone else. Like, who the fuck am I? I forgot.
Mm-hmm. And let's say you're talking to a client and we're identifying these barriers and they're like, man, I need to take some more time for pleasure in my life. What are some tips you will give them to, and you mentioned a few things, to get that started? And then we'll talk about taking that into the bedroom.
I think it depends if you're listening, how ready you are. If you are like ready to maybe do therapy, obviously go to a therapist, go to a sex therapist. One way that I do this with clients as part of my like initial intake, and this is also to help people figure out their own I would say like sexual and relational identity. There's this old kind of visual representation called the circles of sexuality. So for folks listening, unless you're driving, Google circles of sexuality. And it's basically a bunch of concentric circles, including like sensuality, sexualization, reproductive health, like a bunch of different circles, values, and going through that either with a therapist or on your own to see what have been my narratives about this to help sort of start forming your story. What, you know, stories and things have you been taught about sexuality or not taught, I think can be really helpful to get people started. Next step, I would say I'm a big fan of Miss Jaya's erotic blueprint. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay, so Miss Jaya is a sex educator. She works in partnership she has two partners, so she's non-monogamous. And she has sort of created this really cool framework called the erotic blueprint. And the erotic blueprint is basically kind of almost like a personality test for who we are as like a sexual and romantic being. And so this, they offer like a free test online, but there's also articles you can read to kind of just choose what most resonates with you. And so it's a little bit like a personality test, but it's, I don't want folks to think that it means they just fit into one box. I think most of us have different types of all the styles that are out there, but then based on your style, you can sort of figure out what would be most helpful for you to increase pleasure. So for example, one of the styles is sensual. And so sensual is someone who's kind of really sensitive and really appreciates kind of the, I guess I would say like the artistry of sex and connection. And so they are really in tune with smells, sounds, textures of things. And so if you're somebody who's a sensual, I might invite them to be like, okay, at the beginning of the day, before you start with anything, is there a sensation, something in your sensory world that you know that you like? So I would, maybe let's, if you're down to be my pretend client for a second.
Yeah.
If you were to pick like something in your sensory world that you know is either pleasant or pleasure inducing for you. And that could be like a pillow, a blanket, a candle I really like, some incense, a candy that I like to eat. Does anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, a few. Light is really important to me. Like
light.
How
okay,
room,
what's your ideal light?
If it's artificial, if it needs to be, you know, if it's nighttime, then I really hate white lights. I don't think that's out of the ordinary. So something soft, and then, but preferably sunlight, lots of sunlight during the day. And chocolate.
Okay. All right. So I might tell you, and you know, I think for folks who are busy and have struggled to make a pleasure practice for themselves, you know, I don't want them to be like, now you have to do like hours long pleasure practices throughout the day. So like, we're talking like maybe a minute, even if that's even too hard, 30 seconds. And if you're struggling to carve out 30 seconds for yourself, then that's another issue and, you know, go to therapy. So I would say for you, I might invite you to be like, okay, for 1 minute at the beginning of each day, or maybe just 1 day a week, just to try it out, create a space where you love the lighting. So, you know, if you don't already have a space like that, make your space like that. Go outside, find the lighting that is your ideal, grab your favorite piece of chocolate. And then I would almost invite you to enjoy the light and the chocolate as if you were like an alien experiencing it for the first time. And so what that looks like is what I would call like savoring. And so really like allowing yourself to like savor the flavor, slow down the way you're eating it, really feel it on your tongue and in your mouth and going down your throat and how it feels like it settles in your digestive system. And with the light, really feeling maybe like the warmth of it. How does it feel when you close your eyes? How does it feel when you just like sit there and lay there? And almost just allowing your body to do what it might like to do if you actually slowed down and gave it the time to savor. So this might not seem directly related to sex, but it is a good stepping stone on the way to giving yourself permission to receive more savoring pleasure.
I love that. And I'm visualizing the exercise. And I think, as you said, it doesn't have to be directly related to sexuality. It is in the context that we're using it, but it just sounds like a great mindfulness practice and a great way to treat yourself, to be in touch with who you are.
Yeah. And so that's one blueprint. If you're not really a sensual person, you might be listening to this and being like, what the heck is that? Like, that is not something that I would find pleasurable. Yeah. That sounds not as exciting to me. So check out the other different blueprints. But just to give another example, one is kinky. And so this is someone who sort of likes the taboo of things. Sort of the shadow side of that is there can be sort of increased shame about one's desires. But the upside is the, you know, the part that maybe feeds you is sort of the taboo, the stuff that's like, oh, we're not supposed to do that. And so for something like that, I might invite someone to be like, okay, for 1 minute at a chosen time during the day, write yourself a little like erotic story that you're not going to show to everyone. Maybe you'll like throw it away and burn it afterwards or hide it in a little crevice in your house, but just like write down a little naughty story that you wouldn't want like anyone to read, but that sounds like really delicious to you. So that might be someone else's homework as a good place to start. But I think, you know, if someone's coming to see me, I really want to assess what their style is so I can help them learn to better speak their language and then be able to teach that language to prospective partners. Because I think sometimes what happens is we often choose a partner that speaks a different language than us. And so a lot of people can, after time, after the new relationship energy fades, they can feel like, oh, we're not compatible. And that might be true. Maybe you're not as closely, you know, similar as you would like to be. But to me, it's all about like figuring out your language and being willing to learn someone else's language.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. You are allowed to switch things up when you feel like it. Yesterday, you might have been jamming to country music, but today you are into some hip hop, or your go-to dessert is usually creme brulee, but you are really feeling a slice of chocolate cake right now. With Dipsy, they are here for whatever you are in the mood for and encourage you to always choose what feels good to you in that moment. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and characters, no matter what you're into or what turns you on. Find stories about that intriguing coworker with that British accent or hooking up with your hot yoga teacher. They even have stories designed specifically for your zodiac sign. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. Dipsy also has sleep stories, wellness sessions, and they also offer written stories. It's your go-to place to spice up your me time, explore your fantasies, or heat things up with a partner. For listeners of our show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/I do. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/I do. dipsystories.com/I do. We all know the power of a good night's sleep. There is no better way to start a day than feeling well-rested and ready to take on whatever comes your way. However, waking up refreshed is easier said than done. And what we don't all know is how impactful having the right sleep is for achieving the perfect dream state. We all deserve bedding that was made specifically to relax your tired soul and sore muscles at the end of a long day, which is why I absolutely love and sleep so well on my Cozy Earth sheets. Cozy Earth develops and crafts high quality goods with reasonably and sustainably sourced materials from the earth so that you can get the restorative sleep you need. In my opinion, Cozy Earth has the most comfortable sheets on the market. I am just a little obsessed. Since they are made from sustainable viscose from bamboo fabrics, they are unbelievably soft, and I actually refuse to sleep on any other sheets in my bed. And get this, Cozy Earth bedding was invented so you could feel like you are sleeping at the perfect temperature. With moisture-wicking fabric, it feels significantly less humid and degrees cooler than cotton. They believe in their products so much that Cozy Earth offers a 100-night sleep test. That means you can try it for 100 nights, and if you don't love it, you can send it back for a full refund, which I have never done. Plus, they have a 10-year warranty on all of their products. And for good reason, Cozy Earth has been featured on Oprah's favorite list 4 years in a row, so I encourage you to discover why for yourself. Cozy Earth provided an exclusive offer for our listeners today. 35% off site-wide when you use the code IDOPODCAST at checkout. Take advantage of this amazing deal and visit CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com today and receive 35% off when you use the code IDOPODCAST at checkout.
I want to dive into that, but first, yeah. I just want to mention the circles of sexuality in the erotic blueprint. I'm excited to look those up for myself because, as you just said, I mean, that's so much of what we're talking about. The work is identifying what it is that we like and then communicating that with our partners. And I feel like it's all relative, but I'm pretty open sexually to learning and trying to understand myself. But I feel like I've barely scratched the surface because it hasn't been a huge priority for me. And we're always evolving and growing, but it's definitely an area that I'm excited to dive into. And I think things like these blueprints or the circles of sexuality can help us discover what we don't even know is there. So it's so great. And I want to talk a little bit about that exploration. So besides looking at these things and being like, I identify with that. But what if we're looking at the blueprint and we're like, I don't really feel strongly about any of these. How can we start to explore to find it?
I'm so glad you asked that question because I think I get so many people in my practice who have never really slowed down to actually know what they like. And so when being asked or presented with a list of like sexual things, they're like, I don't even know how to know if I like something. And so I think a slow way to kind of start with that I often do with clients, and you're welcome to do this now if you're listening, or if, you know, if you're willing to share yours, I might say, think of something in your life, person, place, thing, experience, event that gave you a big, like, hell yes, or like a big yes, something that you were like, this is pleasant, this is either neutral or positive, something that stands out is like, I know that was a big yes for me.
I can share. Yeah.
Yeah, go for it if you want to share it.
Yeah. I mean, I surf. Nothing gets me more excited than like
when you're dropping in and you know you're like hitting it at the right spot.
Well, the drop in, but just like the hell yes is like really good conditions, you know, and dropping into those. So yeah, that's strong.
Are you willing to do a little exercise with me around it? I don't want to therapize you, but if you're down, let's do it.
Yes,
okay,
for sure.
So, and this is just an example of like what I might do, but for listeners, like pick your own thing and maybe do this along with us, but don't close your eyes if you're driving. Okay, so I want you to imagine like the last good great surf sesh that you had. And that could be a day, that could be a specific wave. And tell me when you kind of have that in mind.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Okay. So you can either keep your eyes open or close them. And I want to invite you to like get into all of the sort of properties of that day. Like what was the lighting? What was the temperature? How was the water? Who else was around? And really seeing if you can sense into that memory. And when I say sense into, I mean feel in your body, like, what was it like to be there? What do you smell? Yeah, what are your surroundings? What do you notice in yourself, around yourself? Is there anything in this moment that you notice in your physical body? And share that with me if you're willing.
Yeah, I feel really relaxed and kind of at peace.
Yeah, at peace. And where in your body do you kind of notice that?
My chest, I would say, yeah.
So like, how did you know that that was a good surf day? Like what told you in your physical being or in your head that you were like, yes, this is it. Like, this is a tasty surf day.
In my physical being, I
Yeah. Like, how did you know it was a good day?
Yeah. I mean, visually, I'm looking and seeing the conditions are good. And then internally, it feels like excitement, like anxious excitement.
Yeah. And where does that usually happen in your body? Like, what happens? Is it your heart starting to race a little bit? Is it your, like, you know, feeling like you want to move? Like, what does that feel like?
Yeah, definitely heart racing and feeling energetic, you know, wanting to move.
Okay. All right. Exercise done. Okay. So that is the feeling that is a yes for you. So when you're thinking of what do I like, what am I interested in, we want to go for that, those physical sensations, that feeling of maybe the relaxation or the excitement that you were describing, and really figuring out what that feels like in the body. And in order to do that in more of a sexual way or with your body, there's an exercise called body mapping. And body mapping is, I don't know how old people listening to this podcast are, but do you remember those like Thomas guides that used to be in like cars? Like the map of the map. So basically it's like Google Maps, but body mapping is kind of like creating a Google Maps of your body. And so it's really finding a space where you can be alone by yourself. You can be clothed or unclothed, depending on your comfort level. And just taking time to go from head to toe and trying different movements and sensations. So that could be scratching, pinching, grabbing, lightly tapping, slapping, and literally going from head to toe with whatever body parts you're comfortable touching and seeing what gives me that yes feeling that I was just sort of describing for myself. And if you find it, stay with it for a second and see what that feels like. So I would say that that's kind of a good, these are some two good exercises to figure out what you might be interested in. If you feel like you already know what that yes feeling is, I would invite you to go look up a yes, no, maybe list online. There's an app called, I think it's called Spicer or something, where it basically like presents you with different like sexual things. And you can like swipe right on the ones that you like. You can even do it with a partner and it lines up the ones that you're both interested in. But if you're like, oh, I already know what the yes is, I just am like curious what's out there, read through one of these yes, no, maybe lists and just see what feels like a yes to you. And then on the opposite side, what feels like a no. And you can do that same exercise about the hell yeah with something that was a hell no and like how you knew it was a no.
So valuable. And I'm just excited to dive into these things for myself. And I know our listeners, I'm scribbling all these notes.
I know I'm giving a lot of resources, but I feel like it's essential in the work that I do because sex is such a mind, body, spirit thing. And so it's complex and it is a practice. It is something that takes work and energy and like desire to work on and willingness to work on. So like the more you're willing to put towards it, the more you're going to get out of it.
It does. Exactly. That I was just thinking in that sense. And I don't think there's a wrong or a right. You know, if sex is important to you, but you're not doing the work, stop complaining and do the work. You know, if you're just like, I'm busy and sex is fine, it's not a priority right now, that's okay too. Because there's a lot wrapped up in sexuality, obviously. And there's also this idea of like, it needs to be this certain thing, like whether it's specifically what you like, what you don't like, or frequency that you're having with your partner, all of these things, it's so loaded. So yeah, but definitely if you're listening to this, you're probably interested in increasing your pleasure, communicating that with your partner. So these are really excellent resources. I want to talk a little bit about what we need to do to communicate these things with our partner, how we can approach that. So we're wanting to increase our pleasure and we're not sure where our partner's at, or we have a sense that maybe they're a bit indifferent to this kind of work, or maybe we want them to do it. What are some of those conversations like?
I think this is something that I work on with most like partners or couples in my space. And it is often the case where like one is maybe wanting or feeling like they want this more, and the other one maybe has a different language or isn't sure if they prioritize it the same. And I feel like this just happens a lot because we often end up choosing some of our like opposites in some way. And at the beginning, that can be like an exciting yin to our yang. But then after a while, it's like, why don't you like the things that I like? And so I think first it's looking at like, are you with somebody who does care about what's important to you? And how do you know that they care that it's important to you? And what has stopped you in the past from, you know, expressing that to them? I think a lot of people can get shy about some of this. And so that's where like a sex therapist or a sex coach can come into play. But asking your partner to go do that, I think, can be scary. And so I think to sort of take that step, it's really finding a way to express like why this is important to you. And look, if you're with somebody who isn't willing to listen and care about what's important to you, you might be needing to address some other stuff in that relationship. If it's just about you feeling safe enough to express a desire, that might be something you need some therapy work on to figure out like, what am I struggling with to be able to ask this? How do I like regulate myself to be able to feel confident enough to ask this stuff? I think if you're feeling shy and not knowing where to start, I think some apps can sometimes be helpful as like a way to like blame it on the app a little bit. So there's a friend of mine has an app called Lovewick, but there's so many out there that ask like different relationship questions, and you could blame it on me, blame it on the podcast to be like, oh, you know, that podcast I liked, I do podcasts. Like I was listening to it the other day and like some weird therapist chick on there was like talking about this app. And like, I think it'd be really funny to try it. Like, you know, it sounded interesting. Would you be down to try it with me? So like blame it on us and then check out one of the apps. And then the app sort of has different categories of questions, one including sex and intimacy. And so if you pick that deck of cards, you can go through those questions and be like, well, I'm not asking. It was the cards are asking, you know? So then it sort of helps you, helps the door open to start that conversation.
I've felt this way about lots of past episodes where it's like, blame it on the podcast. Like you say, hey, I listened to this interesting podcast with Nicoletta and Chase, and they were talking about, you know, increasing pleasure. I think you should check it out. I really enjoyed it. Or just share with them. That's a great way to start the conversation.
Yeah. And I think when asking for what we want, I hope I can curse on this podcast.
Yes.
I curse. I'm a big fan of the shit sandwich technique. Have you heard of that?
Please remind me. It's not like the compliment sandwich.
Yeah. I guess it's sort of like that. But it's basically framing an ask as sort of a compliment. And so, yeah, I think obviously it can leave someone on the defensive if you're like, I think we need sex therapy. Like clearly this isn't working. And maybe that is the real sentiment. But figuring out like how your partner, if you are partnered, how your partner likes to receive feedback. And that could be a good question to ask first and foremost is like, hey, if there's something that I'm not really vibing, like in our talking, in our relationship, how do you prefer that I give you feedback? And sort of bringing them into that process so you know how they like to give feedback. But I feel like the shit sandwich technique, I'm not saying it's like a surefire way to get what you want, but it's a good place to start. So it's basically like I would say like the nice supportive thing, the shit, AKA like the ask, not that it's shit, but you know, whatever you're asking, then maybe the difficult part and then the compliment. And so let's say I'm wanting to go to a sex therapist or listen to this podcast together or whatever. I might say, hey, do you remember that time when you like were really down to go check out that like scary movie I liked? And I know that you're not a huge fan of scary movies, but it was so meaningful to me that you were willing to try it out because it was important to me. Well, I've been thinking and I really want to like try out something called sex therapy. I really want us to like find a better connection, and it makes me feel so like sexy and loved and safe when you're willing to like try this stuff with me. It really, really makes me feel good about our relationship.
I love that. I love specific examples like that for communication. And just to play devil's advocate, let's say I'm just picturing a female approaching a male with this shit sandwich and the male going, hey, what's wrong with our sex, you know, like I thought it was great and getting on the defensive, then what could someone say in response?
This is a tough one because I feel like if you're single and dating now, maybe you need to decide if you want to look for someone who doesn't respond that way. Because right. I think for me, that's something that I have as like a rule out. Like if someone's not willing to work on that, I'm kind of like, that's not going to fit with me. I'm a sex therapist. Right. But if you've been in a relationship a long time, I think having some empathy for that is also important because in our culture, men are kind of taught that like sex is the only like appropriate outlet to be emotional or like have feelings. And so I think so much weight gets placed on that of like being good at sex, being a good partner. And then it's also like the only way you can like in a manly way, like express your, you know, love, express your affection, explore your feelings. And so that's not, you know, an individual person's fault. I think that's a cultural thing that we're taught. And so there's a lot of like, a lot of my work is like undoing and educating and like undoing cultural narratives. And so I think having some empathy for that is, you know, is important. And so if you're, you know, saying that and your partner is not responsive about it, I think trying to really say it from like, this is something that I'm needing for me. And it, you know, it doesn't have necessarily anything to, even if it does have to do with them, you know, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with you. And it doesn't mean I think like we're bad at this. But I just like want to be better at things with you. And I feel like it's so sexy when you're like willing to support me in something I want to work on.
That's super valuable. And yeah, anytime we're communicating about anything in a relationship, it's valuable to use the shit sandwich model that you're saying, right? It's not just coming out the gates, hey, we don't communicate really well and I want to work on it. You know, it's like, whoa, you know, and it's super valuable to even sometimes preclude it with like, hey, is now a good time for you to talk? You know, we talked in past episodes about communication, obviously, and just the timing, you know, maybe not right as you're about to turn off the light to go to sleep. Maybe don't bring it up then, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Finding a good place, when you're not hungry, angry, lonely, tired, about to sleep in the middle of a fight. So yeah, maybe right after a good surf session or like while you're surfing or whatever that is. But I think it would be important if you're a guy listening and you kind of resonate with the like, no, I'm really good at sex. Like, you know, like I don't need any help. Like she comes every time. It's probably not true. And I say this because I think we need to embrace that we're all bad at sex. You know, like it's normal to learn how to take lessons and learn to like do stuff that we've never done before, whether that's using a computer, driving a car, being a mechanic, like whatever it is. So like, why is sex something that we feel like we're just supposed to innately be good at? I think we're innately know that we're like supposed to put the thing in the thing to make a baby, but that doesn't mean we like know how to be good or great at it. And so I think embracing that we're all bad to start out with, like we're all just new and amateur and with a new partner too. Even if you had a great sexual connection with an ex, this is a new person, a new body, new equipment. You just got a new car, right? Like it's so embracing like not being great on it and that has nothing to do with your worth or who you are or what you can accomplish. But I think the being willing to learn and look, it may come to a place in your relationship if you're someone who's asking your partner to do this and you're being like, oh, this is so important to me. And my partner continues to be unwilling to work on this with me. You may need to decide if that's a deal breaker in your relationship.
Well, I love that point that we're all just trying to figure this out and you don't need to be an expert. And that is super important to remember. And
yeah, even me, I'm still learning. I'm still taking classes and doing stuff all the time. Like, you know, it's ongoing.
It's beautiful. And I think with everything in life, if we have it all figured out, then it's kind of boring. It's like, all right. Now what? And of course, we don't ever figure it all out. And that's the journey. That's the process. And wanting and willingness to grow into it is important. And just all the notes I took today, like there's so much in today's episode that people can dive into for themselves. Even if your partner isn't excited about doing it. That's also an important thing I like to remember and tell our listeners is that it's great if your partner's on board. Definitely want them to be open to growing. That's huge and important, but they're not always going to be as excited about the same things as you or really even maybe wanting to do it because they're a different person and that's okay. That doesn't have to stop us.
That's such a good point. I think, yeah, don't let your partner be your gatekeeper of pleasure. I think we're often taught that like our partner is supposed to provide us with pleasure, with orgasm, and like they're the gatekeeper. But like, yeah, don't let that stop you. If this is something you're passionate about, honestly, the best relationship I think most people have is with them, like, or that most people can have if they work at it is with themselves. So even if you get the most attuned partner, like I still have the best sex with myself because I know my body, I'm taking the time to learn that, I'm getting immediate feedback. So yeah, don't let your partner's maybe unwillingness or lack of interest in it, stop you from having a curious mind, and you still deserve to have that. And you can have a lot of pleasure with yourself. And then sex with your partner can be, maybe you do it for other reasons. Maybe you do it because it feels good or you love each other, but like, maybe you're getting a lot of those pleasure needs already met, and then there's less pressure on partnered sex.
Exactly. Well, Nicoletta, thank you so much for all the great resources. Like I said, I got a page of notes here. I'm excited to dive in.
That's what happens when you have a therapist on your podcast.
Yes. No, I love it. And I'll be sure to have the links to everything that you mentioned today in the show notes and on our website, idopodcast.com. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online? And then we'll say goodbye.
Sure. So yeah, I'm a sex therapist and marriage family therapist based in Los Angeles. If you're looking for therapy, I work with folks in California, but I also offer coaching to folks internationally. But the main thing that I also do outside of that is my own podcast. It's called Sluts and Scholars. So it's a kind of shame-free sex ed podcast to help you increase your pleasure. So if you liked this and want to learn more, check out slutsandscholars.com or slutsandscholars on Instagram, and you can find me through there as well.
Excellent. And we'll have those links, like I said, in the show notes and on our website. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest as well as any of their recommendations will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day happy couple challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.